Please rise. The portion of scripture that we turn our attention to this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10, beginning with verse 22. Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is the Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Dear fellow worshipers of our living Lord and Savior, He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. I'd like you to put on your thinking caps for just a moment today. Out of all the people that you know, out of all the people you have ever known, is there someone whose word you simply do not trust? Why? Why don't you trust what they tell you? Personally, I do not trust someone who tells me that they are going to do this, or who tells me that they are not going to do that, and then they do not follow through. This is the type of person who talks the talk, but does not walk the walk. Now, turn your thinking caps around 180 degrees. Out of all the people you know, out of all the people you have ever known, is there someone whose word you automatically trust? Why? Why do you automatically trust whatever they say to you? For me, the reason is quite simple. They always back up their words with actions. This is the type of person who both talks the talk and walks the walk. Today, as you and I continue our celebration of Easter, we are going to focus our attention on this truth. Because He lives, we know that Jesus is trustworthy and true. John chapter 10 is commonly referred to as the Good Shepherd chapter of the Bible. That's why we always turn to this portion of Scripture when we celebrate the fourth Sunday of Easter, which is also known as Good Shepherd Sunday. In the opening words of our text, we find Jesus in the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem during the Feast of Dedication. This feast commemorated the victory of Judas Maccabeus and his forces over the occupying Syrians. During the occupation of Israel by the Syrians, a man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes had desecrated the temple of the Lord. After his victory over the Syrians, Judas Maccabeus then cleansed and rededicated the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. That was around 167 BC. The Feast of Dedication was then celebrated every December to mark both the victory of Judas Maccabeus as well as the dedication of the temple. Do you remember what this feast is called today? Today it's simply known as Hanukkah. After telling us why Jesus was in Jerusalem, John then goes on to say, Jesus was in the temple area, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." 2 months. 2 months before this confrontation had taken place, the religious leaders of God's people had accused the rabbi from Nazareth of being demon-possessed and raving mad. Why? Because after Jesus explained to the people that he is the good shepherd who would lay down his life for his sheep, he went on to say to them, "The reason the Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." It appears as though these religious leaders had been stewing over those words for 2 months. And so now, when they see Jesus once again walking in Solomon's colonnade, they surrounded him, and with a mock show of sincerity and surprise, they demand a clear and plain answer to the question, "Are you the Christ?" We get the impression that they were trying to trick Jesus and trap Jesus into saying something that they could use to discredit him in the eyes of the people and or report him to the Roman authorities. Jesus' response to being surrounded by people who opposed him and rejected him is clear, it is direct, and it is powerful. Look at verses 25 and 26 of our text. Our Lord says to them, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep." Notice how calmly Jesus reminds these men that he has already given them an answer to their question in 2 ways. First, Jesus' answer to their question is found in his description of himself as the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd who was willing to suffer and die to pay for the sins of his sheep. The Good Shepherd who promised that he would rise from the dead on the 3rd day. Second, Jesus' answer to their question is found in the many wonderful, powerful miracles that he performed in his Father's name. And so in both words and actions, Jesus clearly and openly and plainly proclaimed that he is the Christ. The only reason that these religious leaders could not acknowledge or accept that Jesus is indeed the Christ is because of their own unbelief. "But you do not believe because you are not my sheep." To emphasize his point, Jesus goes on to say, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Notice how clearly Jesus connects his words and his actions. Listening to Jesus' words, hearing the voice of Jesus as he speaks to us through his word, gives us insight into what Jesus promises, absolutely promises, that he will do for us. Jesus promises to give us the gift of eternal life. Jesus promises that we will never perish. Jesus promises that no one, not the devil, not the sinful world in which we live, not our sinful enemies, no one will be able to snatch us from his hands. Jesus promises that as his sheep who listen to his voice, we are always safe in our Heavenly Father's hands because Jesus and the Father are one. Could there be a more clear answer to the demand of Jesus' enemies? "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." The question now becomes, did these men understand what Jesus was telling them? They most certainly did. While it's not a part of our text for today, John says in the verses just immediately following our text, again. The Jews picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them, I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? We are not stoning you for any of these, replied the Jews, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. Somewhere I read, what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Do these words apply to the event that we find here in our text for today? I think they do. Put on your thinking caps once again. Hardly a day goes by when we do not hear Jesus and or his holy word being demonized. Demonized as being homophobic, hateful, and narrow-minded. Hardly an hour goes by when we are not tempted to follow false Christs, the gods of our bellies, the prophets of prosperity, the theologies of mortal, sinful human beings. Now factor in all the churches who have replaced the glorious message of the gospel of our risen Lord and Savior with the promise of temporal healing or the lure of material blessings. Add to all of that the people who trust their own will rather than what God has revealed to us in his word. Oh, they may pay lip service to the authority of the Bible, but they are constantly reading into the scriptures their own ideas and their own opinions. They may even ignore clear major teachings of the Bible and emphasize obscure minor teachings of the Bible in order to promote their own agenda. Ultimately, they prefer their own preconceived ideas to what God has revealed to us in Scripture. When we open our eyes, my friends, and look around the world around us, it is not difficult for us to see that Jesus' answer to the demand, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." His answer is rejected and ridiculed by many people today as sayings of someone who is demon-possessed or raving mad. How do we guard against getting caught up in that faith-destroying trap? We stay focused. We stay focused on what our good shepherd has told us. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. When we are listening to Jesus' voice, when we hear his words as he is speaking to us through the Holy Scriptures, then we will have the comfort and the confidence that only our good shepherd can give to us. Through his holy word, our good shepherd calls us by name. He knows us and we recognize his voice. He leads us and we willingly follow him. Through his holy word, our good shepherd safely guides us through this spiritually dangerous world. Through his holy word, our good shepherd feeds us with the green pastures and the quiet, still waters that our soul needs in order to thrive and survive. Through his holy word, our good shepherd enables us to believe his statement, "I and the Father are one." Our faith leads us to trust that when we are listening to Jesus, we are also listening to our Heavenly Father. Our faith enables us to trust that when we see Jesus loving and healing and caring for the lost and the rejected and the troubled, we are able to see and understand who our Heavenly Father is and what he is like. All of these blessings, my friends, all of these blessings lead us to have a great deal of empathy for those who do not believe and trust in our Good Shepherd. Why? Think about it. When someone does not know Jesus as their Good Shepherd, they have no sense of direction as they are traveling through this world. When someone does not believe and trust in Jesus as their Good Shepherd, then they easily succumb to the voice of this stranger, or to the voice of that stranger. When someone does not know Jesus as their good shepherd, then they have no spiritual safety net when life gets hard. And as many of us here today know very well, life can easily become very hard. When someone does not know Jesus as their good shepherd, wolves in sheep's clothing stalk them in an effort to snatch away their soul and drag them into hell. When someone does not know Jesus as their good shepherd, then they are unconsciously just wandering down that wide and easy road that always, always ends in eternal pain and suffering. All of this serves as a reminder to us that we need to reach out to those who are not listening to the voice of their good shepherd. So look around in your own personal life, my friends. Do you know someone who is not listening to the voice of Jesus? What can you do to help them? You can mention them by name every time you approach your Heavenly Father in prayer. You can support God's kingdom work both here in our own community as well as all across the world through the work of our Synod. You can stay focused on the cross of Calvary's Hill to remind you of how much the Good Shepherd has willingly done, not only for you, but for everyone. Now, I suppose that right about now, we could say amen and get on with whatever else we have planned for the rest of the day. That, however, would be unfortunate. Today is not only the fourth Sunday of Easter. Today is not only Good Shepherd Sunday, but today is also Mother's Day. Is there any way for us to dovetail these inspired words of our God with our celebration of Mother's Day? I think there is. For those of us whose mom or grandma is already living safely in the presence of our Good Shepherd, we can use today as an opportunity to thank our good Lord. Thank him for all the advice, all the guidance, all the instruction that our mom and our grandma have given to us. I certainly cannot speak for any one of you, but even after I got older, even after I became a pastor, I treasured the sound biblical advice that I received both from my mom as well as my grandma, not only when I asked them for their advice, but also when they thought I needed to hear their advice. For those of you whose mom or grandma are still with us, and for those of you who still have the privilege of being a Christian mom or a Christian grandma, let these inspired words of the Apostle John serve as a guide for you. By both word and example, let your children and your grandchildren see how important it is to you to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. Let them see and hear how important it is for you to gather together here in his house, not only so that you can listen to your Good Shepherd as he is speaking to you through his word, but also so that you have the opportunity to bring your praise and your prayers to the only one who can and will give you the gift of eternal life, the only one who has the power to prevent Satan from snatching you out of your Heavenly Father's hand. And if, when, you realize that you have not always lived up to that precious role that your Good Shepherd has given to you, lift up your eyes to the cross. Listen to your Good Shepherd as you hear him forgiving you. Listen to your Good Shepherd as you hear him promise you that he will give you the guidance and the strength that you need. We all have people in our life that we may not trust because their words and their actions do not always line up with each other. We all have people in our lives that we trust implicitly because as much as humanly possible, what they say and what they do are always in agreement with each other. My prayer this morning is that every time we lift up our eyes to the cross on Calvary's Hill and remember what our Good Shepherd was willing to do for us, every time we peer into that empty grave in the garden and remember that our Good Shepherd fulfilled that greatest promise of all and physically rose from the dead on the third day, I pray that we will relish and rejoice in this precious truth. Because he lives, we know. We know that our Jesus is trustworthy and true. To God be the glory. Amen.